There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your setting. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clancast on the Fangirl Zone. I am Beskar Dave.
And I'm Sith Lord Steve. Unfortunately, Sean had some family business to take care of, so she couldn't make it, but Dave and I will try to get through this. Today, we're talking The Acolyte, titled Day, episode 4 of season 1. We're already halfway through the season. This episode was written by Leslie Headland, Amanda Steinberg, and Charlie Bennett, and directed by Alex Garcia Lopez.
And now for the episode recap. Racing to the next target, the Jedi head to a new world as they close in on a clever assassin. Brevity in all things.
Yes.
Okay, tell me what your initial reaction is, Steve. Then I'll lay mine on you.
Okay. It definitely was a cliffhanger ending, which kind of took me out of the episode at the end. But otherwise, I thought it was a decent episode. It looked like our Wookiee Jedi didn't make it, so that wasn't good.
No.
And who knows who's going to survive on the planet with somebody's mamas there.
Yeah, I think so. When I was talking with Sean the other day, I told her about my Coral theory, the other, you know, the birth mother.
Yes. When Sean posted that article and I read it, I came back and told her, I think it's Coral.
Yeah. I think she survived and rescued the falling May.
Yep.
And turned her to the dark side. So my initial reaction, I wrote down in my notes, is I don't know what to make the direction of this show.
Right.
I'm less positive than you. The brevity of this episode was stunning, too.
Yes.
I don't mind a cliffhanger, but just black and just gone. It's almost like they deliberately truncated it. Maybe the other half or whatever the episode, they said, nah, let's end it here and we'll show the rest, edit it into the rest of the season, which is a little strange. I don't know. Does that mean they don't have confidence? What they're doing, or they just like fading, going to black and ending the episode with a boom.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait to find out.
Yeah, the reviewing public is not happy, though.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I can understand why, you know, I don't have patience with reviewing public. But we're not learning anything, and I don't know, and Jedi are dropping like mad.
Yep.
So here's my hot prediction. Saul's going to be dead in the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to go out without him. Kidding.
Yeah, I can see Yord and Kiki trying to take out the bad guys. That would not be good.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm stunned that there's anybody on that planet at all. When they Jedi landed and they met the unfriendly inhabitants, like, what? There's people there?
Yeah.
I thought nobody went there. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we open on the planet of Kofar with Master Kelnaka returning to his home, which is his ship built into the lush forest. He makes a meal and goes about his business. But on the walls of his home, there are spiral patterns that are similar to the markings of Mother Anisea from Episode 3, Destiny. Back on Coruscant, we pick up with Padawan Jeki Lon working in saber training. Osha watches her and the other Padawan. Friendly reminder, Jeki's master, Saul, was Osha's former master before she left the Jedi Order. The lesson ends and Jeki goes to meet Osha. She's there to say goodbye to the Padawan and to thank Jeki for her help in clearing Osha's name and finding her twin sister Mei. Jeki figured Osha would have stayed until they at least captured Mei, but Osha counters saying it's the Jedi's problem. That was a weird line.
It was a weird line. And you know that the spiral was spotted inside?
Yes. There were several different ones. So
yeah. It makes me think there is another reason why those original four were on that planet. And you know how Saul keeps telling Osha that. I'll explain it to you sometime when we get back.
Yeah.
So there's some underlying reason they screwed up, I guess, why they were there, because of the connection between Kalneka and Coven. So
right.
Where'd that come? That can only mean there is some back history, and maybe it has to do with the Jedi screw-up. We have no idea what it is.
Yep, absolutely. And only four episodes to find out.
So Osha flat out says she's not a Jedi, despite mourning the time lost from her sister. She can't be the one who brings Mei in. She also can't bring herself to say goodbye to her former Master Saul. She's the one who all laughs. Back on Kofar, a ship lands in the wilderness, and it's Mei and her sketchy but quirky partner in crime, Khmer. He stops Mei from running off into the forest, saying that Kofar is mostly uncharted and not even bounty hunters will step foot in the forest. He stopped Mei from running off into the forest, saying that Khmer has been there before and happened to find Kalneka in the big scary woods, and makes a screeching animal noises to find Jedi for her master, which Mei doesn't believe as Khmer trips over his own bag. I think he threw that stuff looking dumb on purpose. Khmer corrects her, saying he risked his life to help Mei, not her master. She needs him. Reminds her that Osha being alive doesn't change her mission. She still made some sort of deal which involved killing a Wookiee. That they head out. Back with the Jedi, Master Saul and his group of Jedi analyze footage of Mei's previous attack. They note her skill, but her emotions guide her, so apparently not totally schooled?
Right.
Okay. While she might not know the identity of her master, she does fear whoever he is, which I also think is a lark.
Yes.
He.
Yeah.
I don't think so. They muse on different theories about whether this is a splinter force order or something worse. Some of the Jedi want to blow up Mei off, or in Saul's case, note how underskilled she is. Jedi Master Venestra, Ro, feels there's a more serious situation as Mei has already killed two Jedi Masters, Dara and Torben, and were both on Brendok 16 years prior with Kalneka and Saul. Plot thickens. Venestra thinks Mei, trained by a Jedi, doesn't want to inform the High Council. I think that's a lark also.
Yes, I do too.
He and Jedi, it's going to be the big switcheroo. So, again, Venestra is afraid. Bad press?
Yes.
That would mean that if they inform the High Council, they would have to get the Senate involved. She wants to be quiet. Well, that stinks of conspiracy.
Yes, it does.
Venestra ends the meeting by giving the order to extract Kalneka from Kofar. Saul hurries after her, and Venestra is upset that Saul never told her that 16 years ago there was a chance that Mei survived. However, Saul honestly thought Mei had died.
Yep.
He wants to be the one who brings in Mei. Venestra fears the bigger plan of the Master and that Mei is just the beginning.
That could be scary.
Yeah. We wrap that up in just four more episodes.
Yeah. You may not. That may be part of season two or three.
Okay.
Saul argues that Mei would surrender if she got something in return, and he has something she wants. Back with Mei. Khmer brings up that she's supposed to be killing these Jedis without a weapon. However, she failed to do that with Indara and with Torben. She must kill Kalneka with no weapon or it'll be a failure. She changes the subject, asking what deal he has with her master. Khmer simply says it's not dear, he just owes her master. Khmer says, you know how he is, he collects people. Mei asks how Osha acted around Khmer in episode 2. Khmer shiftily dodges most of the question, saying that Osha was fond of Saul. These two are trying to find specific information out of the other, but neither is really budging. They reach the perimeter of the woods and head in deeper for Kalneka. On Coruscant, Osha and her droid Pip are getting ready to leave when Saul stops her. He wants her to join the mission. Hopefully, Osha asks if he wants her to be a Jedi again. Her mood drops when she realizes he just needs her to find Mei. He doesn't want Mei to get hurt, and he knows that Mei's attitude changed when she found out Osha was alive in episode 2. He believes there's still good in Mei. Where have we heard that before?
I know.
Osha doubles down that Mei is a murderer. He counters that she's still Osha's only family. With that, Osha begrudgingly agreed. Team has been assembled. Along with Osha and Saul, they are rejoined by Yord Fander, Jeki, a group of other Jedi, and a furry Tynan tracker named Basil, which is a species from Star Wars Legends.
You know, when I saw that other Jedi group, I'm thinking, which one's the red shirt?
Yes, absolutely. They all might be.
Yeah.
The Jedi land on Kaphar and they start their search with the locals. Yord tries to pull rank on Osha since she's just a civilian, wanting her to hand over her blaster. He eventually gets the weapon, though, as Jeki tells the group that Kalnaka is in the forest. They give a piece of Kalnaka's old robe to Basil, and the group heads out across the wilderness to find the Wookiee. And the race is on. Who's going to get there first?
On the way, Osha approaches Yord, who was her friend when she was in the Jedi Order, to ask him a favor. Mei won't listen to Osha's pleas. She wants Yord to stop Mei for her, since she's been out of the Jedi Order and not as skilled. Yord points out that Mei has always been her wound, and perhaps Saul wants Osha to be, you know, to face herself. It's a race back and forth between the Jedi team and Kamir and Mei searching for Kalnaka. Basil hesitates in the woods, saying there is something rotten in the forest. Yeah, giant gross bugs. Osha touches a creature, thinking it's part of the tree. The bug-like massive creature comes to life and attacks. However, Saul is quick to slice it down. You know, if this was a comedy, he'd be covered with like goop.
Yeah. But
the Jedi press on, as it'll be dark soon. Jeki and Osha have a conversation about death and how a true Jedi, as Osha puts it, should just accept when beings pass into the greater force. Death always felt unfair to her, everyone she lost on her planet. Jeki tells her we're not defined by what we lose. We're defined by what we survive. A couple of wise Jedi there, Yord and Jeki.
Yes.
Back with the other group, Kamir is insistent that they get to Kalnaka before the sun sets. Since she has to fight a Wookiee soon, Mei wants to rest a few minutes. She says all this isn't a test, but a lesson from her master, a final lesson, she adds. Your lesson is the one you teach yourself. You will kill a Jedi without a weapon. Since attacking the defenseless is against the Jedi way, Kalnaka give up his morals if he fought Mei. However, she has no clue how to fight a Wookiee with no weapon. It's impossible, and if she doesn't do this, her master will kill her. Wonder how she knows this. I mean, it's entirely likely, but has he
killed
others before that she knows of?
Yeah.
So Kamir offers to find her water while she rests so she doesn't lose her nerve. While he's away, she begins to take in their surroundings and make a plan. While they're looking for the track of Basil, and Kamir's getting water, both groups suddenly hear Mei shrieking for help.
They all flee forwards towards her, but Kamir gets stuck in her trap. Mei confronts him, saying she doesn't need this deal, this test, none of it, because her sister is alive. She is going to turn herself into Kalnaka and the Jedi Order. Kamir warns that their master will kill her. She quips back he has to find her first, and she heads off to find Kalnaka. With the Jedi, Saul seems to sense something, but is keeping it to himself. Bad move, Saul. Now that she's starting to feel the Force again, Osha wants to face Mei. The Force gives her more courage. Saul explains that it's not facing Mei, it's facing Osha's past. He also says that he needs to face his own past, too, and promises to explain everything once they get Mei back to their ship.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to earlier.
Yes. Mei arrives to Kanaka's place and finds Basil, who alerts the Jedi he's found Mei. Blood-curdling scream.
Yeah.
Mei sprints inside Kalnaka's home.
Ready to go? I'll go. Mei sprints inside Kalnaka's home, and he finds the Jedi Wookiee already dead with a still-smoldering lightsaber slashed to his chest. Wow, things happen fast.
Yeah.
I can't figure that out either. As night falls, Mei realizes that her master is already here. The Jedi arrive, the man that Mei comes out. However, Saul senses something behind him. At least he looked the right way this time.
Yes.
A dark figure lowers himself behind Osha, Mei's master, and he slowly approaches Osha. Lights the red saber, Jedi ignite their blade, throwing Osha out of the way with the Force, and Master pushes back the Jedi, like a Force tidal wave.
Yes, they all went back.
So for those who think Kamir is dark stranger there, the Master, if he was trapped, I find it hard to believe. I think that was one of Kalnaka's traps, yeah?
Yes. Okay. I think so, too. But it might have been Mei's, but I'm sure it was Kalnaka's.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so he could have got himself out of that by just floating up, too, right?
Right.
And getting himself, untying himself, if it's Kamir.
Yes.
But I still think it's one of the mothers.
Yes.
The undead mother.
Yeah.
All right. Want to do some ratings, Steve?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
What do you got?
Well, I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 WTFs.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true. And I'm not going to be quite as forgiving as you, although I wholeheartedly agree with the WTF.
Right.
I'm giving it a 2 out of 5 pit-sniffing rodent.
Yeah.
Squirts. I'm glad it was just water. That Pip squirt.
Yes.
Either that or Pip can pee.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback, be it email or audio, to contact us at fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Acolyte podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and I hope you're enjoying our podcast. Don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
And you can find those other great Fangirl Zone podcasts at www.fangirlzone.com. You can check out our contact page, which will give you all of our contact information and ways to get a hold of us. And for this episode of the Mudhorn Cladden Cast, I'm Sith Lord Steve. You need me so you can get to her.
And this is Beskar Dave, a more malevolent May Masked Master Mystery.
Nice.